African American History Month wraps up this week, but how much do you know about the history of Black Americans here in Wisconsin? Our next guest is working to spread the stories of some of the first African Americans to move to one city in the state during the Great Migration, Beloit. Linda Fair is an academic advisor at Black Hawk Technical College in Janesville. She talked to WPR host Keely Boltina yesterday about her research.
Help us understand, when we start to see African Americans migrating to Beloit, what's driving that migration?
What drove the migration mainly was African Americans migrating from the South, and what one of the main reasons was a company here in Beloit, which is still there, Fairbanks and Morris, were looking for extra help right during the time of the war. Their production level was high, and their bodies of employees were low, so they sought out ways that they can increase their workforce, and a gentleman that worked there as a custodian felt he had an in connection with some people from the South, because that's where his family was from, and they were looking, you know, for more success, more ways to be prosperous, and more adventures. So that's how he recruited for them to come up here and, you know, bring their families up.
What did Fairbanks, Morse and Company make during the war?
They are a Fairbanks Morse Company, and they still are. They were doing some of the naval engines and industrial equipment of that nature.
Okay. And so people realized, African Americans specifically realized, this might be a place where I can work. And the company realized, hey, this is an untapped resource for workers. If we can get them up here, we can do what we do better, faster.
Exactly. More. Yes, exactly. And again, at this time, they were thinking of ways, too, that they can become successful and do more, you know, want to bring their families up to a different type of environment where they might not experience as much racial tension, and, again, be able to work and provide for their families and send back for some of their other family members.
We'll talk a little more about what drew African Americans to Beloit and how that changed the city. But is that what happened when these families thought maybe we can escape some of the bad things of our lives here in the South? Did it change for them when they came to Wisconsin?
Yes and no. To the degree they were able to make money, but they still faced some different racial tension. They found out soon that just because Wisconsin was in the North, all the people that lived here were not as accepting of integrating communities and seeing them in the workforce. They still felt a little segregated into themselves. And even though they were in the bigger community, they had their own community within the community, if you know what I mean. That's when Fairbanks Morse helped incorporate places for them to live, helped incorporate places for them to worship and fellowship, because they used the church as a social center. And then they were able to they built what was called Edgewater YMCA and brought up someone from the South to be the superintendent of that location, just so they did feel that they had some type of outlet, but nevertheless, they still felt segregated.
Which, in hindsight, is not overly surprising today, because what's the time frame we're talking about here? This was very real. Segregation was very real. And this was well before we even saw things happening in the 60s with the civil rights movement.
Exactly. Yes, this was, we're talking, basically, the Great Migration was from around 1915 up until about 1970.
All right. And what was it like in Beloit for that first wave of African Americans who came up? You said the company really helped, but what did they experience when they got here?
Again, they found themselves having not enough space to live. Again, like I mentioned earlier, with a places to worship, because they were heavy into their faith, and just finding jobs for other family members. So that was some of the stuff that they faced, too, once they got here.
And what then was their standard of living when they first came to Wisconsin? Did it differ dramatically from their experiences in the South?
I would say probably a combination. It was a little bit of the same. Again, like I mentioned, they were found themselves segregated, staying in one certain area. Fairbanks was nice enough to build and accommodate them. They created some row houses, which are still in existence in Beloit, called the Fairbanks Flats, and that's where the majority of them stayed. And so they were able to really build a community, like I said, within a community, and they majority of the workers stayed there. So now families who aren't related by blood, but now they are becoming one big family, and they're working together, they're eating together and socializing and just hanging with each other, just to kind of for that comfort and protection.
Linda Fair is an academic advisor at Black Hawk Technical College in Janesville, and we're talking about her research into the early history of African Americans in Beloit, Wisconsin. And Linda, this is part of your own family story.
Yes, it is. My family, my mom was part of the Great Migration. My grandfather came up, him and his brothers, to work in one of the other local foundries around Beloit, which was known then as Iron Works, and then it changed the name to Beloit Corporation. So he came up, and he worked there for close to 50 years, and they came in the mid-1930s. Again, just taking a chance. Word traveled that there's room for growth and opportunity in this city. So they just took a chance and came up. And then his brothers came also, and they all lived under one roof. My mom and her siblings, along with which would have been their aunts and uncles, they all just stayed under one roof together.
And this is something
coming from Houston, Mississippi, yes.
When you think about the stories that your family has told, does that seem to fit with the experiences that you've researched that other families had?
Yes, it does. Where my grandmother was a domestic in the home, she and like my aunts, they stayed and tend to the children, could clean and that type of housework around the house and home, while the guys and the gentlemen went out and worked in the foundries like Fairbanks Morris. I had an uncle there, and then also, like I said, Iron Works. So they were doing the work, the manual labor, while the women stayed home. And most of the people I've talked to, that's how it was. It was the gentlemen, the men going out into the workforce, actually working, and the ladies were home tending to the children and tending to meals and tending to the home.
This moment in history changed the makeup of the city of Beloit. It changed the racial proportions here. We saw a lot more African Americans coming to Beloit. When is it that they go from feeling like outsiders to people in the African community, like seeing an opportunity to be part of the community, to serve?
It was well until almost like the 40s and 50s, after they finally started feeling like we can make our name here, we can be comfortable here, and they started opening up their own businesses, from barbershops to restaurants, even running hotels such as the Dewdrop Inn, things of that nature. They started feeling a little more empowered and taking a chance, and it was working for them at that time.
And what is the status then that we see today? Are these tensions the same, or is this a place where you hear from the African community that they feel is part theirs?
I hate to say it, at this time they still don't quite feel as much ownership for the community. Beloit has a 15% makeup of African Americans in their community at the time, and we still struggle. And I'm saying we because I'm an African American female. We still struggle with being recognized and able to move up in corporate worlds. Still have to face like some prejudices and racism with different roles and jobs and sections of the city where we live. And it's almost like history repeating itself, like we're regressing some, although there are other opportunities where some African Americans are really shining and setting the stage for our younger generation to know how hard it was and to remove some of the barriers. So it's better, but there's room for improvement.
And how do we make sure that people know these stories so that the bad of history doesn't repeat itself?
Again, similar to what I do, I started 4 years ago with just doing Beloit Black History Moments through my Facebook page just as a personal gift that I thought I should do for our younger people, because I was always around my mom, them, and other people, and listening and just like a sponge absorbing all of the information. So I feel that I can't just hold on to this information. I need to spread the word, and times have changed. Social media is that vehicle now where you could get the information out, and that's one of the things that I've, you know, taken on, just really trying to spread the word, and if nothing else, to encourage and empower our younger generation that you can do and become whatever you want. Things are different, but you have a little bit of the same, but you can still go forward and try. If they made it through some of these hardships, you should be able to do what you want to do and be it whatever you can be at this time.
Linda, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That was Linda Fair with Black Hawk Technical College talking to WPR host Keely Boltina about the early history of African Americans in Beloit. You can find a write-up of a talk Linda gave and a video of the talk itself at wiscontext.org.